So, Connie, I know that Kyrie is Lord. What is eleison? Have mercy, mercy. Boy, that's something we all need, isn't it? To be repeated all the time. Have mercy, Lord. Well, for our guests, we're in this series on the book of James. Martin Luther called it a right pithy gospel. But it certainly does mine nuggets of gold. And we find ourselves in chapter 4. Now, for those of you who are guests but have been here with us year after year, I usually preach with a PowerPoint so you can look up and see stuff. But I've gone old school recently. I'm asking you to take those little red books that are found in your pews. We call them Bibles. And if you turn to 982, you can follow along with me as I read the passage that we're going to look at today. It is from chapter 4 of the book of James, beginning with verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, commits sin. May God bless the reading of His Word. Will you pray with me? Lord God, as we look at what you're trying to say to us, how it can strengthen our lives, how it can enliven us to be better people in this world, to know more of love and to serve as you would call us. Lord, open our hearts and minds as we look at these words. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old story, I don't know whether it's true or not, that Colonel Rall, who was the commander of the British troops in Trenton, New Jersey, at the time of the Revolutionary War, he was playing cards when a courier brought him an urgent message that said that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware River. Rall, consumed by his card game, put the letter in his pocket and didn't bother to read it until the card game was finished. By that time, he realized the seriousness of the situation. He hurriedly tried to rally his men to attack, but it was too late. His procrastination caused many of his men to be killed and the rest of the regiment to be captured. Only a few minutes' delay cost him not only his life, but his honor and the liberty of his soldiers. Earth's history is filled with the wrecks of half-finished plans, unexecuted resolutions. Tomorrow, we say, is the excuse of the lazy. And that's the first problem we confront in this passage today. It's the one of procrastination. Maybe you've heard the story of the high school sophomore who'd been assigned a term paper. Now, the day of reckoning had come, and his paper was due to be turned in. And that's where the procrastination comes in. The teacher knew that this particular student named Gene had not been working steadily on his paper as his other classmates had. He was rather prepared for an excuse. So when the teacher went to collect the papers, Gene said, "My dog ate it." The teacher, who had heard all the excuses before, gave Gene a hard stare of unbelief. But Gene insisted. He persisted. "It's true. I had to force him to eat it, but he ate it." Much has been said about procrastination. This little ditty, "Procrastination is my sin. It brings me nothing but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow." You know, we're famous for our tomorrows, aren't we? In life, it's so easy, especially the fast pace of our lives, to say, well, I'll get to it tomorrow. You know, that's true even of the best of intentions in our lives. We say we want to serve God. We want to enjoy and be productive as these scouts are. But, gosh, there's so much to do. It's easy to say, well, I'll open this red book tomorrow and read the Bible. Oh, yeah, I'll give more as soon as I get that raise. Or I'll go do something good for my neighbors. I'll call it a mission field to be kind and caring. But I'm so busy right now. I'll do it tomorrow. People drift away from all their good intentions, even God. You see, I know I really do need the fellowship of church. And I know that, gosh, I've been depressed lately, and I just want to be able to hug somebody, to show some love, to interact with people, but I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah. You know, Jesus dealt with these tomorrow people. In one section, there was a young, eager man who said, I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus returned the look to him and said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay down. You see, even Jesus called people and they said, well, yeah, I'll do it, but not right now. There was the man who said, I'll follow you anywhere, Jesus. He says, but first let me go and bury my father. Now, we don't even know if his father was dead yet. He just wanted to hang out one more night at the morgue. I'll do it tomorrow. And the one I liked best that I found is the butthead. Lord, I'll follow, but I need to do something first. Well, God, really, the church is full of a lot of hypocrites. They're buttheads. I'd teach in Sunday school, but I'd be there all the time, but I'd tithe, but I'll do it tomorrow. You see, the difference between success and failure is that successful people make themselves do what they hate to do first. And failures wait for their managers to make them do it. Or the managers do it for them themselves. That was Charlie Tremendous Jones that said it at a business seminar. Why do people put things off? I just brainstormed a number of reasons. I think laziness is one thing. I think tiredness because of all the things in our lives is another. Other priorities, too busy, enjoying that they have complete control over their lives and don't want to be managed by others. And gosh, we've got to admit, there's a little bit of a thrill in doing something a little naughty. We get a little bit of, wow, I crossed a line there. Or the thing I hear most as a pastor, there are too many hypocrites in church. They don't do what they say. They don't love enough. They don't have patience enough. Or I don't understand God. I don't know what God would expect of me. Well, Jesus said it. To love one another. To love God. To love self. But those are hard things to do, aren't they? Someone else wrote, when I was a child, I laughed and wept. Time crept. When I was a youth, I dreamed and talked, and time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And soon I shall be passing on, time gone. You know, someone once said, it's always easy the night before to get up early in the morning. And one of the best things about procrastination was said by Martin Niemöller as a warning as he reflected on what happened in Nazi Germany. He said, when the Nazis came in Germany, they first came for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak up because I was not a Jew. And then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. And then they came for the Catholics, and I was a Protestant, so I didn't speak up. And then Martin Niemöller said, they came for me, but by that time there was no one to speak for anyone. You know, if we don't, who does? If we don't say to ourselves, I want my life to emanate love. I want God to live through me so that people see me and are attracted by the aura, so that they know that they can have confidence that I'm going to follow through, that I'm going to be there for them. Well, that's procrastination as one problem in this passage, but there's another problem in this passage that James describes. He says we live as if tomorrow will never come. Well, for me, tomorrow's getting closer and closer. But I still want to do everything I used to do. He doesn't indicate whether it's unethical or unprofessional, but he does say that he or she, a self-confident, goal-oriented, profit-motivated person, can say, sadly, I can do it on my own. And that reflects a common mentality today. I don't need to have anybody in community. I can do it on my own. Failure is not in my vocabulary. Failure is not an option. But the problem is that James sees that there is no consideration of God in this. He says you boast in your arrogance. And all such boasting, James says, is evil. The first presumption that's made is he or she in this little parable of James says, today or tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with planning ahead. We all have to plan our calendars. We all have to do that. But the problem is there's something omitted. If the Lord wishes. God, I want to keep you in mind. I want to keep goodness in mind. That's what James says. Well, this person, he or she, is boasting about what they might do tomorrow. James reminds them that we are but a mist that appears for a little while. None of us have complete control. I was throwing grandkids in the pool, and boy, I'm a left-handed person. It's been very difficult over the last month and a half. All the little things I don't think about as I age, as my body is not as strong as it once was. I'm a mist. God warned us in Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring you. The Old Testament and the New Testament are congruent. We need to consider God and then take each day as a precious moment, each time as it might vanish before us. There's other problems in this. The presumption about the what. You know, he says, I could buy or sell and make a profit. Very boasting. We all know proud people who say they can accomplish anything but fall short. You know, that's what Saul in the New Testament said. He was out there, Saul of Tarsus, who'd figured out God's will, and not asking God, he set out for Damascus where he was going to mess with this new little cult of people, Christians. And God struck him off a horse and said, why are you persecuting me? I'm not persecuting you, I'm defending you, God. No, he found out. Because he needed to seek God. And then he became one of the greatest missionaries of all time. Finally, in this arrogance, the man describes his presumption about the why. He's going to make a profit. Well, there's nothing bad about making a profit. Jesus gave a parable of the talents and how we are to use them to profit. That's not the problem. The problem is, again, he hadn't considered the will of the Lord. We gather in this church not just on Sundays, but we meet in small groups, we have Bible studies. We want to know the will of God so that we can live the will of God. That's what it's all about. It's about community and caring and saying, God, will you help us? Maybe you remember the old poem I learned first as a kid. A bell is not a bell till you ring it. A song is not a song until you. Love in your heart is not put there to stay. Love isn't love till. Give it away. May we all know God's love. And may we give it away to one another. Amen. Let's stand together and sing hymn number